The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Broadcasting from beautiful Burbank, California, this is the Knapsack Files. I'm Ken Knapsack for another edition of an interview. That's right, the classic interviews. Sometimes my recording schedule gets a little weird and I blab by myself, and I don't like doing that. I like blabbing with friends or making new friends, and we're going to do that today. My guest, well, he is, I'm going to call him a Renaissance man until he explains all the things he does, but he writes, he produces, he hosts, and, well, he is one fun, energetic dude that I had met previously, but I really got to know recently. We'll talk about that. It is David Moore, also known as the real 2E's cool dude. How are you?
I am good. That was fun. I feel all special.
You're special. You're very special. So, look, man, this is fun. I love getting to know people in real life, new people coming on in, and I guess we could start with the story that we met, but I remembered it only after having my memory jogged, mostly by your father, at a Schmodown event, right?
Yes.
What was that? When was that?
I believe it was the one, because I had run into this person a few times before at screenings, Mark Bernardin.
Love Bernardin.
Was competing.
That's right.
That was when we were there the one time.
He got pulled in. Now, were you a fan, or do you know, you were a fan of the Schmodown?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I've been a fan for a while. A few years.
Gotcha.
So I've been following and cheering and being like, of course, I'm that person that's like, I could do that. That everybody, but then I hear once you're there, it's a whole different
thing. It is a whole different thing, but I think you can do it. And I think that's something we can talk about later on. So, yeah, you were there and your father was there. Phil Moore, we should say, right?
Yes.
Is he okay with you dropping names?
Yeah, no, okay. he's totally cool. do you want me to explain who he is?
Well, yeah. I used to see him every now and then. I was a little older than probably the demographic at the time, but
probably.
You flip around the channels.
Yeah. So he used to host the show on OG Nickelodeon, called Nick Arcade.
Yep.
And, the kids played arcade games and answered questions and then went into the video game. It was like one of the first like interactive, virtual reality experiences, like literally ever. It was for its time, groundbreaking tech. And he was like doing some cool things for the culture because he was like the only black television show host, like, ever at the time.
When
you really think of the history of television, he was the only one to have his own show.
What period? What was it?
Early
90s. Early 90s.
Like it was like, I think it aired in like 92, 93.
Yeah, because I was in high school in 90 to 94. Okay. So I'd be flipping through Nick.
Yeah.
Not thinking I was allowed to watch it still. Even though, but yeah, absolutely. Well, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that is absolutely groundbreaking, as unfortunate as late as it was.
Right,
But it's still credit there. So and I met your father, and flash forward a year or so now?
I think it's been about a year.
Yeah.
And,
all Schmodown events, time flies for me.
Nice.
But we were on the same panel together at LA Comic Con.
Cool. That was really cool.
And we chatted. You're a gem. You had a lot of fun. It was your first panel. I want to talk about the first panel. And then your dad, because I had met your girlfriend was in it, but your dad walked in in the middle, towards the beginning of the panel, and I was like, something's familiar here.
I know this chocolate man.
And afterwards he came up and was like, hey, we met before, but not in like a, hey, don't remember, but just like, hey. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, and I feel so bad. But you were raised in Orlando. Orlando?
Yes.
Is Orlando a city?
Orlando. Yes, Orlando, Florida. That
makes
was
sense.
Actually home.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, oh, we traveled there for the show. No, we were natives.
You were natives in this great land.
The native folk. And and so that's where I'm born and raised.
How's it going up in such a touristy area? That is like the mecca of tourism.
You know, it's one of those things where because you're born in it, that's just what it is.
Right.
You know, like going anywhere else was like, wow, it's so slow. And there's, what, you guys are from here? Like just when you're talking to people.
Roller coasters around.
Yeah. So the transition, like when I got older and moved out to Hollywood, that was like nothing because it felt very similar. Just much more open minded out here, which was much appreciated.
Yeah.
There are places in Florida that are still stuck 50 years in the past.
Yeah, we can see that. We can see that in some of the news that
pops up.
A Florida man.
Yes.
A Florida man.
I survived and made it out. It's great.
How long have you been out here?
Well, this is LA round two for me. I come back here when I was a young warthog. Yeah. I was, I want to say 19.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah. I'm 30 now, so it's, you know.
I wasn't going to age yet, but
I was 19, and I was out here for, let's say, I think it was like 5 years. And
so that's a stint.
Yeah.
A stint. That's a real stint. And
So I was just working because, like, my dad, he was like, hey, I'm on this show. It's on Style Network, but I know you want to work. Because I was going to school in Florida for film.
Okay.
So that was always my thing. And he's like, if you want to just start working, you can. But if you want to keep doing your thing in Florida, you can. It's up to you. And I was like, deuces, Florida.
Right.
I'm going out and working.
Yeah.
So, but the thing was, I got so caught up in it. Like, I was making great money. Mm-hmm. And, like, I had my old girlfriend from home that I was like, we're going to get hitched. And sure enough, I did. And I was super young.
Oh,
and
wow.
We didn't know what we were doing. And then it was like, oh, my God, now we can't pay bills. And so then it was back to Florida.
Wow.
And things didn't work out. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I've got no reason to be here anymore.
Right.
So back in LA I came. And here we are. And I've been here now for 3 years.
Okay. That, wow. Okay.
There's the story.
That is quite a, that's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, that was the condensed.
That's the condensed
version. Without the drama or the tears.
Yeah. Now, you, wow. I get personal when people want to get personal, but a starter marriage under your belt is a pretty big thing, man.
Right at 30. I don't know if I should be proud.
It's all right. It's all right.
But I am definitely David 2.0.
David 2.0.
I've been through some things.
And not that any of it was, none of it, I'm going to use this term, but it wasn't a failure. None of this was a failure. It was this big, giant first attempt. At the other end of that, 5 years in, whatever it is, and you make this decision to go back, press the reset button, was it a conscious, I've done some things wrong, or I want to make some changes? You talk about David 2.0. How real is that?
It was very real. I knew that it was like I was very stubborn at first. Like, I was like, I can't go back because that means I failed and
blah, blah, blah.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
But eventually it was like, no. Like, we're going to get evicted if we don't, because we just can't make ends meet. We have enough to either try to stay a little longer and pay this like another month's rent, or buy tickets back home. So, you know, it just made more sense.
It kind of makes a choice sometimes easier.
Yeah. So made the choice. All right. Going back. I was very hard headed.
Yeah.
And I didn't see the full scope of things. I didn't quite know what it meant to be married. I didn't know what the mandate of husband was, you know?
Right.
So I could have been a lot better. Both parties could have been a lot better.
I don't want to get into your sins and transgressions, you heathen, but
shame.
There's value in forgiveness and redemption.
Indeed.
And especially for yourself, to forgive yourself.
Indeed. Indeed.
Hey, I got to learn, or hey, I got to do this better.
Exactly.
I got to go back to Orlando.
Exactly. So a lot of learning was done, and I am all the better for it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that can either make you or break you.
Yeah.
And I helped, and with the help of others and like a good support system, it helped make me better.
Yeah.
And here I am. And like
back.
Ever since I've been back, like even just career choices and things and decisions and life decisions, everything has been so much better than it was on round one. So
second chances. You know, a lot of people don't get that there.
Yeah.
You've always been interested in entertainment?
I have. So I coming up was very interesting for me because, of course, my father with his job.
Sure.
But then on the other side, my mom, she sang professionally for the Orlando Opera Company. Yeah, so,
a little singing gig.
You know, a little this, a little that. Okay. Theater and just that industry was just always kind of around me.
Right.
When I was younger, I used to act. So I did a lot of acting as a child, did a lot of things for Nickelodeon, Disney, did a lot of things children's videos and little musicals. I don't know if they're available anymore because it was all them on these old things called VHS tapes.
Someone's going to convert the file.
But yeah, I did a few and then a few TV movies. And I was the principal for these things. So I was legit acting.
You did. You were doing it.
Yeah, I was doing the thing.
What age group? What do we start young? You dancing in 6 years old and going to your teen years? Or what?
Yeah, it was literally from my 5 to 13, 14.
Man.
So it was for a good little while that I was doing
it. We're going to look you up later.
I think there's some things on YouTube.
Some songs on a video. Yeah,
you can find somewhere.
So, but you would obviously... So it's in your blood and you wanted to do this.
Right. But I got to a point in high school because they had television production as an actual class there. Right. It was an art school.
Right.
And I went from wanting to be in front of the camera, wanting to do it, to then asking myself, how do they do this?
The big transition.
Yeah. So then it was directing and crafting a story, and then even I fell in love with fight choreography
and building
an action sequence and stuff like that. So
this is why you like Darth Maul. I know we're gonna talk about that on Force Center too soon, but yeah, that makes some sense.
Ray Park,
I heard you at that panel just beam with electricity about Darth Maul. That would make sense.
Yeah,
what drew you to that? Just you like fighting or you like dance fighting? You like choreographed fights? Like what?
Dance fight, go!
Yeah. What is it? How does a young man get drawn to specifically?
Well, kind of both, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of those things where I guess because of my timing being able to dance, it just made sense in being able to figure out how to translate doing this into a martial arts punch.
People can't see, but David has now put his fist to my neck. Yes. He's holding it there.
We keep it real.
Keeping it real here. Yeah, that would make some sense. That would make some sense.
I don't know, just something about martial arts in general. I've just always been a huge fan of martial arts.
You practiced it, trained for it?
So here's the funny thing about that. I did when I was a kid, but I got pulled really quickly because within a month's time...
Yeah.
I advanced 3 belts and my parents thought they were wasting money. And the reason for that was because as a kid, I taught myself choreography, full fight sequence choreography to multiple different Jet Li films and Jackie Chan films. So that when I went into these classes and they were teaching me basic stances, I was just blowing these people out of the water. And they literally asked, have you trained before? And I'm like, no, I'm just a movie nerd.
Just watch Jet Li.
So I'm just a little chocolate Jackie Chan.
Just what made you do it? I mean, that's when you hear we didn't teach him piano. He just started playing Beethoven.
And I think that's where it finally clicked for me when I got a little older was realizing that I really like making this stuff. It wasn't just about being the person in front of the camera doing it. I would even with toys, I would be building sequences and literally having something triggered somewhere almost Home Alone style to where things had to be timed right for the sequence to then happen to replicate something from a movie. I was building scenes without a camera.
You're 12 playing with action figures going, well, this is my second act.
Exciting incident. This is our second unit day. We're going to bring in the jumbo crane and we're going to, I was literally doing all of that with little toys and action figures, not knowing that's what I was doing.
And did you come to this on your own? Your dad's, he produces and writes and directs and all these kind of things too. Does he sit to, hey, here's what you're doing, here's what you're interested in, or you were on your own, like you did with Jackie Chan, just on your own?
Fortunately, my parents were very good with letting me you know, spread my own wings.
Right.
You know,
right.
So
that's key.
Yeah, whenever it was like, David's interested in this, all right, let's try to nurture that. Oh, now he's right. interested in this. Let's try to nurture that. But I was kind of, it's kind of basic.
Yeah.
So it was always entertainment in some kind of way, some kind of fashion.
Right.
And so, yeah, when it turned into to like wanting to direct, it was just like, okay, cool. Let's work on that now. You know, and here we are.
And you're out here kind of making it work as best we all can.
Yeah. I'm in that Hollywood shuffle.
The shuffle. Along the way, and I do want to talk more about what you've done, but along the way recently here, you've launched this YouTube channel, which makes sense because upon meeting you in full, like actually like aware of not just seeing a sea of 80 faces going, good Schmodown match,
yeah.
but actually to meet you and realize... realize them in your presence. You've got such an energy, and people can already tell already. You've got such an energy. It would make sense to me that you'd be like, I want talking to a camera on a YouTube thing.
Well, you know what's funny is it wasn't initially just like a thing like, ooh, I should do this as a way to release this
thing. Yeah, yeah.
It was honestly because all of my friends back east, I was their movie guy.
Yeah.
They would literally hit me up and wait for me to tell them how a movie was before they went and spent their money on it.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, I can just do it like this.
Yeah.
And I don't got to send a million text messages to individual people back. I don't got to, like, it was kind of selfish, really. It wasn't me expressing any art.
I'm envisioning, like, a text message to a friend of yours is getting, like, just watch my YouTube
video. Like, now it is, you know, here's now it's like, hey, check out the channel. Yeah, here's the link. So, yeah, it really spawned out of that. Just, like, people were always asking me about advice when it came to movies. And I'm like, okay, people seem to care about what I say. So let's put it out there.
What are the movies that have inspired you? I mean, I know we're going to talk about A War in the Stars, I'm
of
sure.
Of course. Fun fact, though.
Yeah.
The movie that made me a fan of Star Wars was actually Episode One. Because,
yeah.
you know, that was mine for my generation.
Yeah,
that was
you'd be, what, about 10 when mm-hmm, that came out? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was my intro to Star Wars on the big screen. You
yeah.
know? But the one that really... is perfection to me, then I'm going to sound like everybody else, but Empire.
Is it okay?
And that's
Empire Strikes Back, not Empire of the Sun, everybody.
Correct.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, sure. No, I feel like that's my kind of perfect film where the genre is clear.
Yeah.
Or at least the setting is clear. The setting is space.
Right.
But almost all genres are present in that movie.
Yeah.
You have action. You have horror. You have, of course, sci-fi. You have drama. Mm-hmm. You have suspense. You have thriller. You have romance.
Yeah.
Everything is in this movie.
Yeah.
And it something about escapism. I've never been one of those people where, like, when I'm writing, like, a treatment or something like that, or have an idea or a story, I've never been one of those people where it's like, oh, I want to change the world with my political view of this,
sure.
which is fine. Great. You know,
totally
awesome
fine.
For those people who can do that. You know, Spike Lee, like, right. dope. That's powerful.
Yeah.
I'm more of an escapism type person.
Yeah.
I like to go on a journey and kind of escape reality for a little while.
And you can teach great lessons within that.
Exactly.
Clearly, George Lucas had his ideas on how to speak to the 12-year-olds of the world
yeah.
over and over and over again. So, yeah, it's... I know what you mean, though. I think I fall into that. We all fall down. I fall into that category as well. A lot of my things.
Yeah.
And I know there's this time where we want to use our voices and use that's mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with that. But I know where you're coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to write some big epic story to fall into.
Yes, yes. And so that was the Star Wars movie that was like, you know,
yeah.
the one that really. Really got me digging deep into filmmaking. Then eventually, when I got older, I started watching some more classics, like, you know, 2001, Space
yeah.
Odyssey. You know, I think what was another one? Oh, okay, not your typical movie that like any like normal film nerd might say, or like an right. AFI grad would say is on the list, but The Matrix.
I mean, did you see it at that time, 99?
I saw it when it was released on VHS.
No, that's fair. It's fair because I'm because if you're watching Phantom Menace, it's around the same time,
yeah.
the same year. I mean,
yeah, I never got a chance to see it in theaters
yeah,
originally.
It's a different. Gets a gear shift.
Yeah, yeah.
So
but
you finally see it on VHS.
Yes.
And then what does that do to you?
It blows my mind. It was one of those weird things where I understood it.
Really?
At that age. It just all, like, that's why I get, I don't know, maybe I'm off a little bit.
Maybe you're the chosen one? I don't
perhaps
know.
Perhaps a little Neo over here. I don't know. But, yeah, I understood it, and it just all made sense, the lore of it all. But then again, the same question was, how did they do that?
Right.
Because that was you know, aside from, I
think Kiana just did some yoga, man. Come on.
Little Tai Bo. That's all I was meant, but some Tai Bo.
Some Billy Blanks. Yeah, you want to put it together.
Yeah. And of course, the choreography, you mean. You can't.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, oh, God. Then, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. That,
gee, what a great year for you.
Then Crouching Tiger was right around that same time. Which was all, again, just a glorious film all around. But then the choreography, that courtyard sequence where they are literally flying around each other in between, up on top of buildings to the bottom, one continuous shot in certain sequences.
Yeah.
I just had a little nerdgasm.
I mean, this is a great time period for fight choreography yes. fans. I didn't think about it. That's an answer to some trivia question. What's the finest year for fight choreography? What are some of the things that you've accomplished work-wise that you were most proud of that you dump all this into? In this DIY time where we can make a lot of things on our watch.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I fell into, right now, what I'm doing professionally is I'm an assistant director. Okay. So, and when people who aren't in the industry hear that term, they think, oh, cool, you're helping create and this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. Not quite.
Not so much.
I'm helping make a movie happen.
Yeah.
Which is great. But it's all logistics and scheduling. It's, you're running the show, just not on the creative end.
Right.
But I'm currently working with a writer friend now. I have a lot of stories and a lot of treatments that I've written out, but I finally hit one that I'm like, this needs to happen now.
Right.
And so now we're kind of in development of that. And I actually ended up kind of building a universe inadvertently. It wasn't part of the plan. It was just a couple stories that I just kind of kept looking back at them. I'm like, these link.
Yeah.
These work together. So it's almost, if you took, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example, but it's almost like if you took something like a Matrix and get out.
Okay.
And they had a baby. That's kind of what I'm working with, and it's phenomenal.
You believe it. You found some story.
Yeah.
You found something. That's inspiring. That's inspiring. Especially considering this David 2.0.
Indeed.
And the journey is long.
The journey is long.
And when you leave here the first time and you're heading back to Orlando, maybe it's the actual flight back. Are you thinking I'm coming back, or maybe I'm not coming back? What's your thought process?
The original thought was that I was, but when I was there, it's easy to get comfortable in Florida. You find yourself a decent paying job,
right?
And you know, cost of living is so much lower there than it is here. So if you got a decent paying job and the cost of living, it's like, if we keep at this for another couple of years, we got a house, like no problem.
Yeah, we got an empire,
you know. So it started to pull in that direction.
Yeah,
but just
complacency.
As destiny, saw fit. It was for me to come back, and like just things happened, but worked out in that way.
But even destiny, you still have to answer the call.
This is true.
You still have to answer the call. A man drowning in the ocean prays to God to save him, and he sends a raft, a boat, a helicopter, a shark, whatever, and he turns it all down. You still got to find it within yourself.
This is true.
To leave, your Applebee's job and managing an Applebee's in Orlando, or whatever you were doing. I don't know why.
Applebee's the greatest restaurant in the world. Shake and bake. All right.
So that's where I'm obsessed in a way with people who make those choices to come back or to continue or to dig and to find more.
Yeah, that was funny when I came back because like a lot of people who I knew at round one are gone. They moved and never came back.
I killed them all.
Or like they just left the industry, you know? And
it's amazing.
Yeah. I'm here and I'm trying to make it happen.
What's the ultimate goal?
ultimate goal is to be producing and directing my own films.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, but we're getting very close. We're getting very, very close. And I've got some good people around me who are helping make that happen, who've put things together themselves.
All right.
So, you know, then we're going to do the old, probably like the old festival circuit and that old deal.
The old thing.
You know, but we're getting there. And the YouTube is fun. You know, on the side.
It's
a lot of fun just doing that. I love talking movies.
That's probably the best thing. That's the best way to approach it right now. Because as YouTube or the social media world's changing in terms of just, you know, the YouTube stars of 2012 are, you know, it's not that easy right now. But I like that approach where you're like, nah, I'm just going to go do my thing.
Yeah.
And then it's not a pressure, the lifestyle.
I'm trying to just keep it as fun as possible because so many people are like, I got to build my brand and I got to make it, and I got to get this many, I got to do this for the views and stuff. And I mean, I get it totally. If that's what you're pursuing.
No, that's the thing. That's all real.
Dope. More power to you because that is hard.
Right.
But, you know, I'm chilling. I'm happy. If things were to open up, cool. You know? But, you know, I've got my eyes on a prize.
If you were to, you know, compete in the Schmodown, you'd do it.
Yes. Yes.
What's your strength, trivia-wise?
The inner geekdom and Star Wars, those two.
Yeah.
Those are my definite, like, areas of expertise.
Okay, good to know. I'm doing field research.
Okay.
I'm doing field research there. That's, what do you... Your superhero guy too. You got a Ninja Turtles shirt on as you're recording. I count those as superheroes.
Oh, of course. But yes.
You're all there for that too. Then.
All of it.
Yeah.
All of that.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter is probably my main weakness.
We'll start working right now.
Yeah. Harry Potter. Cause that took me a while to actually get into.
Yeah.
Magic is difficult for me.
Oh,
and it's something that me and my dad share.
Okay.
So magic. Okay. Here's the thing with magic.
Let's dive to magic.
Okay. So I hate it when it's like in one scene, we can teleport from one side of the world to the next side of the world. And then all of a sudden now there's a big villain in front of you and you're in a room and you're stuck and we can't get out. We're going to have to fight it. It's like, why could you do that in the one scene and you can't do it here? Yeah. And like if there are rules established that are very clear and they adhere to them, I'm in.
You're in.
But I didn't know that Harry Potter was actually good at doing that at the time. So I was just like, oh, it's magic. I'm out. I'm not even trying to do it. It wasn't until maybe like...
Magic wands? No, thank you, sir.
I scoff at your wands. I eventually gave it a shot and I'm like, I see why everybody digs it. I do love Lord of the Rings. But I mean, that's a very basic, that's not like conjuring up spells and like, there's not a,
I know, look, I'm just like, I'm like you in that regard. And I guess your dad as well. Like, as big of a Game of Thrones fan I am, I enjoy the mystical stuff. I think it works. Game of Thrones works because the magic slowly returns to the land, where Lord of the Rings, the magic is kind of slowly leaving the land.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less and less. No Expelliarmus.
Right.
I've watched all the Potter films. I love good Butterbeer. I can go to Universal. Haven't been to the Orlando one. And I can get into it. But I know what you mean. Because in Star Wars, I love the Jedi. I love the Sith. But I'm there for the fight. I'm there for the rebellion against the Empire.
Right.
And when you suddenly
something,
start...
Something.
Well, like, I don't... like I Even as a kid, like when Luke suddenly leaps... in Return of the Jedi and like leaps up and does
all the somersaults.
It was
and
cool,
lands,
but I'm like, how does he?
Right.
That doesn't seem real.
Right.
But meanwhile, you know.
When there's a giant slug monster in the middle of the ground. But wait, hold on.
Totally.
That flip though.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that flip.
Yeah. I get where you're coming on. And you and I were talking, we were having a fun conversation the other day. We were hanging out at an event and we share something common. We both didn't grow up with Halloween.
Yeah.
And we just passed this holiday. Mm-hmm. I feel, I don't know if I feel left out. I'm okay with my position on it.
Okay.
Including my position on pro candy corn.
Wait.
Yeah.
You're pro candy
corn? I'm pro candy corn.
I'm pro candy corn.
Oh, see, this was meant to be.
Your mom's name's Martha. My mom's name's Martha.
Oh, candy corn.
Best friends.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, it was funny because my roommates and my girlfriend would just give me all the crap.
I get it all the time. And I posted an Instagram photo on Halloween of me with a coffee cup of candy corn. I ate most of it that night.
I'm guilty of, like, do you guys have Brock's out here? The brand Brock's?
I've heard of it, but I don't believe so.
Well, they make candy corn every, you know, holiday season, and they have big old bags. Not like a little teeny bag, little bag of fish in your hand, no big old bag. I've been guilty of, within like a week's time, killing a big old bag by myself.
What's the appeal for you? Let's see if we can explain it to the world.
I can actually taste the honey that is used to make it.
You're like a superhero with super, like Ant-Man of senses here.
Have a refined palate just for honey. I mean, I guess I
sense, because there's something there. It's but you sense the honey. You taste the honey.
Yes, this is strong in the honey. And so I just go in. Like, even when I have tea, it's like, can I have like honey with a little splash of tea?
Yeah.
I like honey. Yep. I was that kid when, like, there was a, what was that place before Starbucks was a thing? There was, we still have Coffee Beans, but there was like, there's some other place too. Barney's.
Barney's
was a spot that was on the East Coast.
East Coast. Gene out here too.
Yeah. So like, but they used to have like honey flavored honey sticks.
Oh yeah.
That you could put in the tea, and they had like a bunch of different flavors. I was that kid was like, I need 10 of those.
And you're just sucking the honey straight from the tube. Yeah.
Just a little pop the top and just go. Raspberry honey. Like it was, so honey's kind of been my thing.
Honey's
my bag, baby.
Honey's my bag. I respect that. So yeah, candy corn. I don't know. There's some I actually enjoy the waxy goodness of it. I don't know, but I know my Patreon.
That should be on a shirt. Or it should be like on a Tinder profile. I enjoy the waxy goodness.
My Patreon. That's my stripper name. Waxy goodness would be a good fight choreography name. My Patreon supporters have heard too much of my love of candy corn recently, but yeah, it's definitely there. But yeah, Halloween, we just surpassed it. I sometimes feel as though I wasn't really raised with it.
Yeah.
It had this church alternative was my version. Hallelujah Hoedown. We dressed as cowboys and took over the church parking lot in a little Western town motif. And then you were kind of like, well, I didn't have it either.
Yeah. I was the same thing. A very, very religious household.
Right.
And yeah, our church, it was called Hell House.
The church wasn't called Hell House. No. The event was come cleanse your soul in the Hell House.
Praise Satan. And so it was like, you know, like a normal, like, haunted house, but it was literally going through your salvation. Like, if you didn't accept Jesus, this is the torment that you would go through hell. But if you did accept Jesus, here's the happy hallelujah and angels, and it's all comforting.
So I'm envisioning this kind of like one of those mazes at like a theme park, a scary maze.
Exactly.
Was there an actual choice? Did you get door number A? Door B?
You saw the options. Like, as you go through, it's like, this is hell, but then this is heaven. And then at the end, it's like, pick one, and you better pick Jesus. Yeah. You know, like, it was one of those.
One door to go through at the end?
Yeah.
See, I would have liked it if it was the two separate doors.
Yeah.
And then if you walk out, like, your parents on the other end, like, I hope,
just shaking their head.
I hope David picks A. I hope he picks A. He did pick A. That's, and people don't understand when I would tell the stories, and it's fun, it's comical, but I was raised in the 80s, man. My mom was worried about razor blades and apples and all these things we were hearing about, and hysteria and fake news, I think, always existed. It just traveled slower.
Yeah, okay.
So the rumors of, well, little Jimmy down the street got a needle in his apple. Yeah. We don't know that. So I understand wanting to be protected. And then, yeah, growing up in a religious household, too, the idea of, you know, an All Hallows Eve, no matter what. The real, no matter what, it's funny, we were talking, oh my gosh, it's freaky. We were talking and my Siri just activated, clearly ghosts.
Yes.
Clearly we're talking spirits and demons.
It was because you mentioned apples and razor blades and Siri was like, hey, you better watch what you say about apples.
We are a razor blade that will cut your mouth. once you take the first bite. I say, you know, no matter what the actual real reason behind Halloween, you know, I'm sure there's some Wikipedia entry of, well, it's actually the fall, you know. Growing up in the 80s in a church, All Hallows Eve, with He-Man on TV where I wasn't allowed to watch it.
You dealt with that too? Okay, so
let's go through that.
Check this out. I, for the longest time, was not allowed to watch even Power Rangers. Because of monsters.
I would agree
like
with that. Really?
Yeah. There were some things that I had to like sneak and watch just because.
Do you ever confess this before now?
I think this is my confession.
Oh, no. I don't know if your parents are going to listen to this, but you know, maybe it's statute of limitations.
I started watching Pokemon, and then for whatever reason, I swear every church in the nation got on this bandwagon about how Pokemon's a cult demons in them cards and that whole thing. And so I was going in on Pokemon, and then all of a sudden it was like, nope, that's the devil's work, and Pokemon is this demon in Latin. Like, you know, it was just, it was the craziest stuff. I dealt with a lot of that.
I had all my He-Man action figures temporarily confiscated by someone in the church to study.
Because
I was big on He-Man, man. Yeah. You know, come on, man. 1983, 84, Masters of the Universe. And, you know, they all came with the little mini comic books.
Oh, cool.
And those ones were dark. And if you watch that Netflix series, The Toys That Made Us, they do go into the little comic books that came with the figures were way more serious than the cartoon.
Really?
Way more serious. And they kind of realized, wait a minute, we're creating children's stories and we got these real kind of characters. Yeah, and they were all taken. All my figures were kind of taken, and I don't know what happened with them. And then I was given like a King David action figure. No joke. Like a King David with the armor, you know, of salvation.
That's
and all that
really
kind of stuff.
Funny. And of all the kings to choose is the one who cheated.
You learn a little bit about that bathtub later on. You learn a little about it. I'll send your husband to the front lines to die. And it's my favorite story in the Bible. But and then my figures were brought back. And I was like, okay, we're good. And I think I survived.
Were they sticky? Or
No. Okay. I don't know. I don't know. It was and I went on. But I was, because I was raised in a religious household, in a very, legalistic church and all that kind of stuff, and great people. And I don't begrudge my upbringing at all. I think people who listen to me know that it's made me who I am in a lot of ways. But I was in a public school. So a lot of my friends at church were all at the local Christian school.
Same.
And I was the you're over there collecting garbage pail kids with your heathen friends.
Double dipping.
Yeah,
so I was one of the other ones. I grew up in private Christian schools.
Oh, really?
All that. But I'm the same as you. I absolutely love my upbringing.
Yeah.
I swear my life for a long time was a Disney movie. Like it was just all magic and roses. When I eventually went to public school for high school, I mean, that was beautiful because I'm like, wait, skirts can go that short? Like,
I can wear a skirt and that goes that short?
We can hug and our mid-regions touch? We literally had a 6-inch rule for guys and girls.
Oh, well,
in
as
our
you should,
Christian
sir.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then, of course, like, I mean, I'm doing all of this in Florida.
Yeah, you're right.
So Florida itself is crazy.
Right.
And, you know, so it was just a lot of things. But again, for me as a kid, that was life.
It was life.
I knew nothing else. So that was normal for me. And then just looking back now that I'm like, oh my God, that was so ridiculous.
Right.
But it was great.
Yeah, you've come out on the other side, well-rounded individual. Yeah. Your core is there, your beliefs, your philosophies, whatever it might be, whatever gets you through the night, man. But I'm like you. I can poke a little fun. I can look back and go, I never once trick-or-treated in my life, but I did dress as a cowboy 7 years in a row or whatever. I am completely and always will be thankful for the way I was raised.
Yeah.
Very good upbringing.
Definitely.
By parents that, you know, did everything to make it seem like we were a higher class than we were,
Nice.
And that's the struggle.
Nice.
Were you allowed to watch Nickelodeon though?
Yes. Nickelodeon was fine given that they were paying for everything. So Nickelodeon and Disney, they got the pass, but it was really like, it was really just that. And then like Saturday morning cartoons when those used to be a thing.
No, isn't that so sad?
I'll never forget the day that I was like telling myself, you know, let me just look. Let me see what's going on. What are kids watching these days? And then seeing nothing was on. I'm like, whoa. What happened?
Infomercials
freaked me out, and or like educational program. What is this educational programming?
Muppet Babies tunnel.
I don't want to see turtles.
Yeah.
I just want to see Kermit, as you mentioned, Muppet Babies.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker.
Oh my God, that's some of my favorite Star Wars moments.
That reference,
yep, absolutely
taking it back. Deep
good,
cuts.
Good point for you, sir.
Muppet Baby,
making their dreams come true.
When your world looks kind of weird, and you wish that you weren't there.
God bless you. Have you ever done that at karaoke?
Not that one.
Yeah.
I've done a few. A little bit of Michael Jackson's kind of my go-to karaoke.
I can see that.
I did throw in a little Lonely Island one time, too. That was fun.
Which song?
Little Dick in a Box. You know, just throw a little bit in there.
You've really turned your back on
your upbringing. That's right. Cut a hole in a box.
What are some of your philosophies in life? I've been around you a very small time. I'm sure you got dark times. I'm sure you go through some things, man. We know about David 1.0.
Ooh, watch out.
But you seem just a really happy, confident man. And with an energy that's kind of radiating off of you. I've been around you now only a couple times.
That's just
next
gas.
Time.
It's just gas.
This gas. The next time you could be a complete a-hole. I don't know. Things could change.
Still gas.
What's fueling you at this point in your life and your career out here?
That's an interesting question. I've never really thought about that.
Oh, let's get deep. Yeah. We go from singing Muppet Babies to talking about the core of your existence.
What is your relationship with your mother? honestly. I'm really big on legacy. And I want to leave a good one.
Yeah.
You know, no one has a college degree. No one has some mega property. And I just want to be able to achieve those things and but also do it in a positive way.
Right.
It's big for the family. It's big for the culture.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. And even with making films, it was cool to have an escape.
Yeah.
And I want other people to feel that sort of escape. I don't know. I think this is going to sound so corny, but I like to be happy.
Yeah.
And the only way I know to keep things happy is to make other people happy.
Yeah.
You know, and try to stay as positive as possible. Like even as an assistant director, a lot of times assistant directors get a rap for being mean. When I tell people that I'm assistant director, they're like, you?
Okay. Yeah.
Because you kind of have to be stern, but positivity goes a long way.
Mm.
And also, just kind of my culture. If people haven't gathered by now, hi people, I'm black.
This is audio.
I am a black man. And just kind of looking, you know, at our culture and our history and just the things that we've been through. You know, there's a lot to be angry about, but that's not going to change anything. And even currently, there's a lot of things that I could be very angry about.
Yeah.
I did have someone ask me, why are you always so happy on set? I'm like, because I got no choice. The only other alternative is me to be just a grumpy man, you know, about everything. There's a lot of things I could legitimately and have very good license to be upset about.
Right.
But you know, you got to smile and you got to show that there's a better way to do things.
And none of that ignores any of the problems. You know, it's not some frosting on this vegetable cake. You know,
the best kind of cake.
But I see how that feels in your philosophy.
And then I do adhere to Yoda. You know, try not, do or do not. There is no try. I definitely adhere to that. That was something as much as I knew that quote and loved that quote, I'd never actually practiced it until recently.
How so?
I would go into things. Mm-hmm. See, people don't quite always understand what that means. I even love how in Rebels, mm-hmm. He says like, "What does that even mean? How are you supposed to do something without trying?" But it's the mentality going in. It's going in knowing that you're going to achieve it, and then if you don't, it's like, okay, well, let's do it again.
Right.
You know, or you can move on, but it's like you do it or you don't do it. Right. You go in full. You don't half-ass it. You know, you go in hard.
Yeah.
And it's not saying go in dumb. It's not like, it's definitely not saying YOLO or anything like that. You know?
We're going to take this BMX bike off this cliff.
And we're going to do it, damn it. That's not what it's saying. Yeah.
That's great because the focus, you know, especially if it's, you know, looking at the Yoda quote. Yeah. And I love you're so right. They bring it up in Rebels to go into some Star Wars talk here. But yeah, it's do or do not can lessen just the art of trying, mm-hmm. but it's how you try.
Exactly.
How you try.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I feel like a lot of people, when they say, "I'll try," even when you think about that whole sequence in the movie, when Luke mm-hmm. said, "I'll try," the way he said it, "All right, I'll try," it was with this notion that I might not do this.
Right.
This might not actually happen. And Yoda wanted him to know, no, you need to, you, and yeah, okay, it might not. But right. your mentality going in is that you're going to achieve this thing.
Right. Right.
And that's something that I try to live with.
That's the key to life.
That's it.
That's what you've learned.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. you're a great cat, man. You're a great cat.
Thank you so much.
I want to have you on again. We'll do some other things. Pull you over to Force Center 2 here.
Cool.
And yeah, I want to see you answer some trivia questions.
Yes.
I hope that's okay.
Oh, it's more than okay.
I'm going to wedge you into that.
Yeah.
I'm going to wedge you into that.
Yeah.
Before we leave, before I say my goodbyes and pay my respects to my Patreon producers and all the things I do to close the show, I want you to put yourself over and tell everybody where they can find your work and all that good stuff.
Well, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, all at Real Cool Dude, R-E-E-L, Cool Dude. It's a lot of just me doing movie things and my career things and talking reviews and...
You know what that is?
What's that?
Branding.
See what
I got
did.
Some good branding.
I'm falling into it. I'm falling into the machine.
Oh, yes. Fall in, take the pill. I forget which pill you're supposed to take and not supposed to take.
Supposed to take the red pill.
Oh, the damn red pills.
Yeah, I'll show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
So, folks listening to the Knapsack Files, I want you to get to know David just like I've gotten to know him here. So follow him, support him, and tell him you heard him here. I don't know what Dave will do in return. He'll just give you a thumbs up or something. Like
and I have to forgive you guys. Like I work a lot, so I'm not as like up to date with everything.
That's
so especially
okay.
when it comes to the reviews, like a lot of this come out. I've seen a lot of things.
Here's a review for As Good As It Gets. Just saw it. It's all right, man. Look, going back, my listeners know. A lot of movies I didn't see in the 80s because I wasn't allowed to. So I would be doing those reviews too.
Nice.
But you're a little more current than that.
Yeah.
A little more current. So seek them out there. The real, like a movie reel, the real cool dude, David Moore. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your day, out of your busy job. You're working on things now. You're getting texts.
I'm literally, my phone's blowing up.
Phone's
got
blowing
a project
up.
Tomorrow morning.
I'm going to let you answer that.
I appreciate you having me on. This was a lot of fun.
Well, this is not going to be the last time. I hope. Like I said, we'll be talking some Star Wars too. So before I leave, I want to tell you guys, you can follow me at Ken Knapsack. Don't forget the Knapsack Files does have a website, knapsackfiles.podomatic.net. From there, you can link to things like my YouTube page, my TeePublic page, if you want to get some branding on your chest.
Beep, beep, beep.
And as always, you can consider supporting at patreon.com/knapsackfiles. Like my producer and executive producer supporters, we got Jason Humphreys, Pags, Kai Thatch, Kyle Gerberin, Zach Anderson, Donald Long, the amazing Webb, Jonas Berger, and Corey Morissette, Graham Bell, Kyle Harlow, and David Triana from Orlando.
What?
Representing, they're my producers. And then we get David Hamm, it's DJ Snacks, Thomas Risling, Lethal Logan X, Matthew Simon Bedore, Jacob at Legends Con, Matthew, who is Noslack, Matthew Thompson at TMP Medium Productions, and Taymor. You know, and a shout out to his brother Abdul, big supporters of here and Force Center. I appreciate it. That is it. So, folks, do or do not, it's how you try. Got it? We'll see you next time here on the Knapsack Files.